Usually when we talk about poverty, we treat it as a simple math equation. You know, you plot a household's income, draw a line on a graph, and if they fall below it, well, they're officially poor.
Right.
But today in this deep dive, we're looking at a 2005 South African municipal policy framework that just completely throws that neat little graph right in the trash. It proves that sometimes standard math completely fails the most vulnerable. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, because what's striking right away is that this framework doesn't even use the word poverty in its core definition. It it targets what they call the indigent.
Right, the indigent.
Exactly, which it defines purely as lacking basic life necessities. So like sufficient water, basic sanitation, refuse removal, and energy. I mean, it explicitly excludes a strict household income condition.
Which sounds totally counterintuitive, right?
Until you
look at the reality on the ground. Measuring income in a heavily informal economy is just a logistical nightmare.
Oh, absolute nightmare.
Yeah. Plus, the baseline cost of basic services varies so wildly between, say, a dense urban center and a remote rural village.
Right. And the document actually goes beyond just utility cost to highlight institutional poverty. This is when the poorest populations are excluded from state assistance entirely just due to historical marginalization.
Wow.
Yeah, in this specific context, obviously, it's rooted in the legacy of colonialism and apartheid.
So systems that actively engineered ways to shut the majority out of municipal governance?
Exactly. They were structurally locked out.
It's like trying to mail a welfare check to a house that doesn't have a mailbox. On a street, the post office doesn't even acknowledge exists. You're completely off the map.
That is a perfect way to put it. The municipality literally lacks the administrative architecture to recognize you. So if an entire demographic is structurally locked out of the system like that, local governments can't just tweak the math to fix it.
Right.
I mean, they have to build an entirely new physical and administrative infrastructure from the ground up.
So what does this all mean for a local municipality trying to fix this?
Well, the framework establishes three sequential pillars, and the logic here is really crucial. First is gaining access.
Right? Because you can't subsidize a service that doesn't physically exist.
Exactly. So the immediate priority is laying the pipes and extending power grids to those off-the-map areas. Then the second pillar is maintaining access, you know, ensuring the water actually flows and the infrastructure doesn't immediately collapse.
Makes sense.
Right? And only after those two are secure do you get to the third pillar, which is targeting the poor. And that involves managing the revenue and subsidies.
Wait, to target the poor, why not just use a standard means test where people prove they have low income?
Mm.
I mean, usually governments demand proof of low income to prevent fraud. Why abandon that here?
What's fascinating here is the document explicitly warns against that exact instinct. It argues that means testing actively penalizes people suffering from institutional poverty.
Wait, really? How so?
Well, if a program requires formal records, steady addresses, or, you know, regular visits to government offices during working hours, the most destitute simply cannot comply. The administrative burden itself becomes the barrier.
Oh, wow. The hurdle is actually higher than the help.
Yeah, and the administrative data backs that up. So instead, the policy recommends universally accessible consumption-based targeting. Mechanically, this means providing a baseline amount of a resource like, say, the first 50 kilowatt hours of electricity or 6 kiloliters of water completely free.
To every single household on the grid.
Every single one. The municipality only starts charging for usage above that survival threshold. Or, alternatively, they use existing metrics like property values to automatically trigger subsidies.
Without the resident ever needing to fill out an application.
Exactly.
Which brings us to why you, listening to this deep dive, should care about a municipal framework from 2 decades ago. It really proves a foundational rule of public policy. Even the best-funded, most well-intentioned safety net will fail if the administrative friction is just too high for the most vulnerable to overcome.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you know, the 2005 framework was fighting physical institutional exclusion. It was all about getting people onto a tangible grid.
But look at how we operate today. Think about how many essential government services you now access exclusively through a smartphone app or some web portal. As we rapidly digitize our civic infrastructure, you have to wonder, are we accidentally designing a brand new digital form of institutional poverty?